ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Well, well, well. What do we have here, Mr. Jordan Kleber? We've reached what? What have we reached? What have we reached, Jordan?
Super Bowl weekend. And
Friday. Yeah. We've reached the weekend. That's definitely something that we have reached. Are you excited about that?
I'm very excited about it.
Are you? That's good. I'm glad you're excited about that. What else are you excited about today? Anything? Anything? Going once, going twice?
I guess I'm trying to learn some, you know, new things. I've been trying to teach myself
new things.
New things.
Okay. All right. What are you trying to teach yourself there? I forgot. It's grade day today, isn't it?
It is grade day.
It is grade day. In case you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'll be more than happy to explain that. Give you the guest list, the phone number, the Twitter feed, after this.
It's
indeed, we have reached the weekend. Maybe not the weekend that a lot of Saints fans would have liked a couple weeks ago. Would have been great if it would have been Super Bowl Sunday.
Here in New Orleans, say.
Are you excited? What are we doing? What are we doing over the weekend? Am I coming to your place? Are you coming to my place? What are we doing?
I texted you.
I invited Raphael, but he's got to work, quote unquote. So he can't leave his domicile. All those different things.
I texted you earlier in the week and you didn't respond to me.
Any of you guys doing anything out there in listener land? Are y'all watching? Are y'all throwing a party? What do y'all normally do on Super Bowl Sunday? Are you a grilling person? Do you kind of, you know, do some stuff inside? Do you do the fish? Little shrimpies? Little catfish? Jordan, you can go fishing tomorrow right there in your backyard and then bring it in for the goodies on Sunday, huh? Do all those different things. You're good technically, right? You can do a lot of different things. Weather is what's going to determine whether or not. I think I'm kind of leaning towards smoking something. Smoking some wings. I don't know about the brisket just yet. That's a little bit of a process. It kind of just depends how everything else goes along the way. 800-998-1003 is the number to call in the show. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. We have a couple of questions of the day. Of course, one pertains to the Super Bowl. Jordan, a carefully and thoughtful worded question of the day where that is.
I was typing it up as.
Yeah. Read it.
Yeah, who you got?
Who you got? There it is. Who you got? Who you got? Give me a score. Give me a prediction. Who you got in the Super Bowl?
Not right now.
No, not you. I'm telling you, this is general. This is a generality. This is the question. All right, I'm throwing it out there to everybody. Who you got? And give me a score when it comes to that. Also, tonight, your New Orleans Pelicans, 6 p.m. tip time. Right, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip at Indiana Pels taking on the Pacers. Jordan. Question of the day when it comes to that is, you know that already.
Yep. Who do you think needs to have it? We could do it like we did for the Saints, but for the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. Who do you think needs to have a big game tonight against Indiana Pacers?
We need to do that. Today after a game, we kind of need to do game balls, pats on the back, and who needs to have a seat? Well, next to coach on the bench, but at least we saw a lot of bench, though. Last I was going to say, there's a lot of people on the bench, but last game we saw a lot of people on the bench. So we'll talk a little bit about that, obviously. Super excited. David Wesley's going to join us, Fox Sports New Orleans. Of course, as you know, former Hornet. I remember covering him when he first came here with the team and enjoyed his coverage over on television, of course. And I wanted to get somebody that's played to get a perspective from this standpoint, and this is going to be my, I guess, premise of questions. We'll ask him his thoughts on the team and different players, of course, but how long does it take to learn a system? How long does it take to get acquaintance with your teammates, a rapport. How long does it take for an organization and a team and a coach to understand what works and what doesn't? And how can players adjust to that or not? And then you take into account this season. Because as I said, yesterday I was kind of in a legit, I wouldn't call it dilemma, but I was just kind of like, because a week ago today, Jordan, remember, I started the show by saying, I know they have 10 losses going into that Milwaukee game. I said, but I can take away about three, maybe even four. You were hard. You were tough. You were
two.
Yeah, you said maybe two. Even still, I went through the win-loss record of a lot of the teams in the NBA, and I said, look, if you do that, the Pels are kind of right there if you take away three or four, or in your case, two losses, right? Still kind of there. And I still kind of feel that way when it goes to the Pelicans. So we'll talk to David West a little bit about that here. Pat Bowlen, Pacers broadcast, a member of the Pacers broadcast. He's going to join us at 12:30 to give us their side of things. Quintarius Green's got a pretty interesting project that he's trying to get off the ground over here in South Louisiana and Thibodeau. We'll talk to him about that at 12:45. Rafael Esparza, prop bets. Are you ready for prop bets, Jordan?
I'm ready to talk about the Super Bowl.
Right, so this is what you and I are going to do here, right?
Okay.
We're going to be heavy here. You want to do like $5, $10, and break it into quarters, and we can place that many quarters on different prop bets and see who wins the $5 or $10. What do you think?
$5 or $10.
Yeah, that's all I got, man. I mean, like, you know,
even legal to
no,
do
I mean, like at the very beginning, we're going to watch the Super Bowl, sort of like I occasionally watch NASCAR with my neighbor across the street. Where we just grab all the drivers, cut them up, the numbers, little slips of paper, and then we put it in a hat and we pick it, and all of a sudden we're rooting for those numbers. Don't know anything about the driver or anything. Oh, 44 went into the wall. I still got 12, 13, and, you know, 47 or whatever. I mean, it makes it, honestly, a lot more enjoyable. So I was thinking, Jordan, maybe we do something like that, you know, right from the get-go. How long is the national anthem? Heads or tails? Who gets the first handoff? First pass, first incompletion, all of that. You want to do, I mean,
I already have a sticky note.
You have a sticky note already. You have a lot of sticky notes piling up on your side of the wall, by the way.
Machoak throws three interceptions in the Super Bowl.
Wow, that's a horrific take, actually. You think he's going to throw three interceptions, and you're calling him Machoak? It's really incredible how
whenever
you call him Machoak.
Whenever you want a sticky note, just let me know.
It's incredible. Hard to be a choker if you come back and win games, right? I'm just asking for a friend.
Hey, you could be a choke artist in any game.
Oh, you can. So just if he makes a mistake, he's choking.
He's choking.
Okay, so okay, well, I tell you, your level of success or failure is pretty incredible. One mistake, you're a choker
for that game.
So an incompletion, is he choking? I mean, what's a choke level play
by
Pat Mahomes?
Up by 10 to 14 points.
Oh, here we go. Now you're giving me parameters. I can't remember half of this.
I have it on a sticky note.
Fantastic. Am I going to be in the studio on Sunday?
No, but when we get back, we'll be able to read them.
Okay. I got you. Jack Benjamin will join us at 1:45. The Colonel's got a pretty big game coming up tomorrow. So we'll definitely touch on that as they will take on Sam Houston. I mean, literally, like, it's one of the bigger games in program history and their starts and their streak and their win streak and all that. So he'll explain all that coming up at 1:45. Daniel Salerson, 2:05, will kind of give us some things to kind of look at the game tonight, specifically Marlon Favorite, Leo Haggerty. Boy, is he just something else. You know, we talked about it at the beginning of the season. He came on last year anytime the Saints played Tampa. But obviously when he got Tom Brady, you and I looked at each other and said, well, let's have Leo on weekly. Since we thought that it would be the Bucks that would be battling the Saints, and sure enough, it did. So get his take on what Super Bowl week has been like. We'll do all that and more. Jordan, I'm going to require you to help me out today.
Oh, no.
A little more than normal. What is past fumes?
Past fumes?
Yeah, like when someone says I'm running on fumes, what's after fumes? I'm trying to think. I don't know what it would be.
Lake power?
Yeah, I don't know. Because
once it stops, you're going to have to get out.
My eyes hurt. Not a lot of sleep over the Cattingale residence today. Little guy had a little asthma attack going, so he went to the ER around 6. But he was up at 4, at 2, at 1, 11, threw up at 10. Yeah,
little warrior.
Yeah, so it's been a long day. He's good now. He's cool. He's back home and everything's fine. But yes, my eyes hurt and I've gotten zero sleep. So, and I landed at 12:40 something the night before. So I've literally had, I don't know, 5 hours in a day and a half, 2 hours. Not that I'm asking for, you know, for you to have some sympathy for me. I just, if I tend to doze off during an interview, just kick me underneath the table. You good with that?
You're not going to go to sleep.
Of course I'm not. So in all honesty, though, I'm kind of interested to hear what David Wesley has to say. I'm interested to hear your thoughts here as well on the Super Bowl and also, of course, with the Pels and what they got. You take a look at some of the games coming up. Are you excited about tomorrow back-to-back, Jordan? So you got the Pacers tonight, then you got, yeah. By the way, yesterday, did you see, I mean, it was one of the highlights. I'm trying to find it for you. You know, Ja Morant, it was a breakaway steal dunk and, you know, all this and everything. And, oh, wow, it's Ja, he can fly. And again, I love Ja. You know I like Ja. I would have loved it. And David Griffin said they actually made calls. They tried to get Ja Morant. They tried to go 1-2 in the draft. He said that, David Griffin. Can you imagine? I'm not going to, you know what, I'm not going to allow myself to imagine.
Stop imagining.
Okay, for 3 seconds, just imagine Ja Morant and Zion. Okay. All right. Anyway, moving forward, Memphis tomorrow at the SKC Center at 6. And we got Houston Tuesday. I want a little revenge on Houston, by the way. You?
For what?
Yeah, you know.
I want revenge for tonight.
I want revenge for everything, to be honest with you. That Houston game kind of.
Why?
Think of the Miami kid. Good job, good effort, or nice job, good effort. That's kind of how I felt the Pels played that Houston game. What'd you think?
It's nothing that Houston did.
Well, doesn't mean I have to like them. They're playing pretty good, though. But Memphis tomorrow, Ja, in town, Indiana tonight. So that's the back-to-back. What do you want to see? Who do you think needs to have a big game?
Tonight or tomorrow against Memphis?
Tonight. Got to play this game first.
I know,
Jordan.
But
that's
like
normally how it works.
You went on a whole Ja Morant.
I didn't know. What?
Spiel?
See, stop it. No, no, no. I didn't go on
a
spiel.
I know you're tired,
spiel.
Gus, but geez.
What? I didn't go on no spiel. I like watching Ja Morant. That's all.
Who needs to have a big game?
Mm-hmm. Big game.
Tomorrow against Memphis, I'm going to say Zion. Tonight against the Indiana Pacers, Lonzo. Because
Lonzo
he needs
tonight.
To make up. For Lonzo and J.J. Redick, because both of them need to make up
tonight?
For their mistakes.
See, I would flip it around.
I said Lonzo and
I would
J.J.
flip it around. Right.
You
I'm saying I would flip it.
Flip it around.
Flip the games. You know why Ja really... I don't know if this is accurate or not, but do you know why he didn't... Do you know why the Pels, I wouldn't say handle the Grizzlies, but they, you know, they were a better team last year, right? And Ja didn't... I mean, he had his moments.
And Zion
Drew Holiday kind of locked him in. He's no longer a member of this team. So I understand what you're saying because you have revenge in your mind. But I'm thinking tomorrow when you're going to face Ja, I kind of feel that when I really need D'Lonzo in, right? The Lonzo ball of lore that everyone... supposed to say such a great defense. I need that tomorrow. Not that, you know, the Pacers don't have good guard play stuff, but wouldn't you say tomorrow would be the, if I had to pick and choose, because that's my overall question of the night. Ready for my overall question of the night? Consistency this week. How about that? And four games we got booked in, right? Last Friday. In 1 week's time, what did we see in 1 week's time, Jordan? Last Friday we saw
the Bucks.
This team take on the Bucks and go up by 29. Hold on for a win. They wouldn't, you know. But they went up by 29 and won.
And then they lost.
And then Houston. And then Sacramento, inexplicably. I mean, against the literally worst defense in the NBA, they struggled. Now won the back-to-back, by the way. So, and then you put on what Coach Van Gundy said yesterday, or the day, 2 days ago, the best game of the season. So, you beat a team in contention for an NBA championship, and then you have the best game of the season. In the middle, kind of an empty sandwich, if you know what I'm saying, right? So I think that's what I want to see in this stretch here, Jordan. Got a few more games before we get to next Friday. So you got Indiana, Memphis, Houston, Chicago, Dallas, which, by the way, did you see ESPN tweeted today? Did you see what they tweeted about Luka Doncic?
Yeah, those 8 wins.
Telling you, it's unbelievable. The Mavericks are 9-14 and hold the 14th spot in the Western Conference. The Knicks own Dallas's 2021 first-round pick. Big eye emojis, and it's Luka with a towel wrapped. He looks like he's crying. Is that where we are?
Hey, trade him.
Blow it up. Yes, trade him. The graph says he actually heard that on NBA radio this morning. Is that unbelievable? So, again, that's why I wanted David Wesley on. Like, this is insane. I mean, this is insane. So let's talk to David when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Pel's taking on the Pacers tonight right here at 6 o'clock on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. I'll be working here forever,
at least until I die. You're invited to start 2021 right now.
Right now.
On the new Toyota of your choice at Houma's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Houma's number one new car dealer. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
Valentine's Day in the Crescent City. It doesn't get any better than that.
What have you designed for us, Lori?
A beautiful crescent moon with a heart inside for everyone you love.
A heart inside a crescent moon?
Yes, and I love you to the moon and back is engraved inside.
The moon and back pendant is just $99 and it sparkles with a diamond.
$199 with a gold heart and a diamond.
And just $499 with a rose gold heart covered in diamonds.
The largest diamond store in Louisiana on Veterans between Bonneville and West End.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Plus special financing on all smart beds. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
You can follow Mr. David Wesley over on Twitter at Senior David Wesley 4. And, of course, you'll catch him tonight, Fox Sports New Orleans. He and Aaron crack us up and also give us a lot of insight. David, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Look, I was excited to have you on because I want to get a perspective from someone that's been on the court in locker rooms and has been on different parts and levels of teams, whether it's playoff runs, or teams kind of rebuilding, starting over, things of that nature. Because I need perspective, David, because even this morning I'm seeing Luka Doncic in the Mavs. Could you trade him and all of this and that? And I'm like, I don't honestly know what is a realistic level or time frame of patience and building. So I want to apply that to the Pels from this standpoint. You don't have that many games in, but as a player, what is realistic in your mind of giving either a team, a position group, a player, or an organization time to build, David?
Well, you know, and that's been the hard part for me, being from a different generation and watching basketball now. Whereas in my generation, you know, most of the guys were older. Most of the guys were in their, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year. Mm-hmm. And you had a better gauge of whether they could play. Whereas now, guys come in so young, and by the time they're basically out of college, they're a free agent, or the team has to make a decision on whether to extend them that fourth year. If they extend them that fourth year, is 4 years long enough in this league to know? Because these guys are still relatively young. Their bodies are still changing. I mean, you think about, you know, coming out of high school, they're 1 year out of high school. Your body changes all the way through college sometimes. And these guys are just, you know, reaching some of their growth spurts. And now, can they play or can they not play? You look at a guy like Christian Wood, bounced around, and now he's a stud in Houston. So what is that time frame? I don't know, but I've realized too that organizations are less patient. You know, a lot of these organizations are changing coaches, changing GMs, changing players, changing, you know, you look at this team right here, you got a coach to change, a GM change, and then, you know, and then just not even 2 years ago when Zion was drafted, he is now the longest tenured player at 20 years old. That's insane, right? I mean, the whole team is gone from the one that I knew back in 2012. None of those players are here. None of those players are here as of 2 years ago. So I really don't know the answer to your question. I've been trying to figure out how to get on board with this space and pace league that's shooting threes, and everybody shoots threes, whether you're a shooter or not. It drives me bananas, but I got to watch it, and I have to kind of dive into it and accept, okay, this is the way basketball is now. I was glad that Coach Van Gundy came in and was doing a lot more old school stuff. You know, it was kind of a mixture, and so far it hasn't worked yet because, again, you're trying to give these guys time, patience that you're talking about, figure it out, and I don't know if they will this year.
And David, that's where I want to go next. Speak with David Wesley, Fox Sports New Orleans. Is, you know, take us into the locker room or behind the curtain per se. You're a player, a new coach comes in. How long would it have taken you to learn the system, learn the playbook, and then, comma, learn to play with, say, the rest of that team in that new system? Does that make sense?
Yes, and each player is different. I was a different kind of player. I was more that player that felt like I had to know. You know, I grew up playing point guard, so in high school I knew all the plays. In college I knew all the plays. I knew all the positions. I could go in a practice situation or any situation. You could throw me and say, run the five spot. And that was back when there were more plays to run. Nowadays it's more ball movement is player movement, and you know, the ball kind of tells you where to go. The player with the ball kind of tells you where to go, that kind of thing. So there's not as many plays that you have to know, hey, I stand in the corner, I wait for the ball to swing, and then I come out of the corner or anything like that. So to your question, when a coach came in, you know, I was one of the first, if not the second, person to know where I was going. And then quickly I would be starting to learn where everybody else was going. So you give me a week and a half, 2 weeks, I know the play. Now, how well do I play with other players? I've never been a player that struggled with playing with other guys. I know what, you know, what they like. I mean, after you've played with them through training camp, you pretty much kind of have an idea, I would think. Certainly if you've played 12, 14, 16, 20 games, you should kind of have an idea of what each player likes. So offensively, things should be flowing great. Defensively, some guys get it, some guys don't. And, you know, that trust factor. I have this great memory of Anthony Mason, and his competitiveness was, you know, I'm going to guard my man, you guard your man. And then he's come over to the sideline, and he's yelled at the whole team, I'm not helping you anymore. Guard your man. And everybody's looking like, what is your problem? Well, he had to help, and his man scored. And that makes him mad. Even though it's not his fault, he doesn't want his man, he doesn't want his guy's numbers to be 20, 25. He wants them to be 8 to 15. So that made him mad. Now, I don't know what the difference is in today's league. I don't know if coaches are pushing defense. I know Coach Van Gundy is, but, you know, I didn't think Alvin was. I think Alvin was more, hey, let's play with pace, and there weren't a whole lot of consequences for not playing defense. And that's what, you know, what kind of power do coaches have these days? Mm-hmm. You know, these players now are making such astronomical salaries. What kind of power? You know, I worried about the guy, not the guy, Steven Silas in Houston. I've known him since he was a kid. All of a sudden he has this top five player doing whatever he wants to. Does he have the power to reprimand? Does he have the power to fine or suspend? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, it is interesting, the different dynamics, exactly. I was saying before we came to you in the opening segment, I remember when you guys first moved here from Charlotte and covering you and seeing you guys sort of go and, you know, you had different players, like, and you saw the growth in a guy like David West, right? And you saw growth in that, and that's why I brought that up and started this conversation, because as the season goes along, David, we'll talk about the team and stuff, but I wanted your players' perspective, because we are seeing that growth in Zion. Yet, David, you'd be shocked. I get calls every day during the week of, well, I don't know how good Zion's going to be, what that ceiling is. I'm like, he's played like 35 games. I'm like, you know, it's incredible. The team's only played 20 overall this season. And I don't know what the expectation level is. So I'm going to ask you from that perspective. You've played. You're watching it on a nightly basis. What is that kid doing when you think he hadn't had really a full off season to go, quote, unquote, in the lab, work with other players, go on, like, you know, Team USA teams, which I think is so beneficial to players. We saw AD grow, I think, that way. And AD, by the way, it took seasons to grow to where his game is now.
Well, and this is how I look at superstars, like AD, like Zion. Individually, go get mine, easy. Like, matter of fact, they figure that out faster than most. That's why they're, you know, top of the league. You know, but it took Zion probably his second game, and he was already like, oh, okay, I can still do the stuff I do in college for the most part. And then, you know, over the next probably 10 to 15 games, he was figuring out how to finish over much bigger size and quickness. Mm-hmm. After that, Zion is Zion. What he's going to do is growing in, and what AD had to grow in is making everybody else around them better. The passes, the decision making, the leadership. That's where Coach Van Gundy is with him and with Zion and BI, trying to get their continuity with the rest of the team speeded up. Because of the losses and because of every night, Brandon and Zion can go get their numbers. No problem. It's the players that evolve the quickest are the ones that get their team to start playing better, get into the playoffs, and get into meaningful games, as opposed to, you know, you look at some of the young players, they may not play in any playoff or any meaningful games for 5, 6, 7 years. I know, who did you ask about first?
Who went out? Who? Kyra?
No, who did you ask me about first?
Oh, I would talk about just with Zion and then just being able to kind of take what he's been able to do and progress. And I was talking about David West is what I was talking about. I think it's the player.
Oh, yeah.
West,
David
right.
West.
How you saw by the season, he went from a guy that, you know, you saw he had some things, but by the time he left here, I mean, David, you know, he was like face on the team, and him and CP were team leaders.
Right. And so that was, you know, that was, again, his growth was his was more being okay with taking 20 shots. Mm-hmm. David West was, you know, we had to make him shoot that, like in practice, he made it all the time. He'd get in the game and he would hesitate and put the ball on the floor and go drive it or turn it over. And you're like, man, you're wide open right here. That's what you do. And I think more than anything for these great players, it's accepting, yeah, I'm the guy. Accepting, I am going to have to make things happen for this team. And I think Zion, within, you know, by the end of this year, he will have a big understanding of that, making guys better. I think he'll have a triple-double before the end of the season. Offensively, he's that guy. He's the one-of-one. He's capable of doing everything on the floor. Now, defensively, he's got to get in the lab. He's got a lot of work to do and a lot of things that he has to figure out to where he's instinctive and he can lead the team from that side.
David, going to enjoy having you on, man, throughout the season. If you'd like, man, we'd love to discuss, obviously, where this team is going, because I do think you're going to see growth and going to get better. And look, it starts tonight.
Yes.
On, for me, I think showing consistency. We saw the bookends here from a week ago, right? In 1 week's time, the Milwaukee win, and then what Coach called the best win of the season back on Wednesday. All right? Now let's see what happens in the next week. So looking forward to tuning you on here later on tonight over on Fox Sports New Orleans. Thank you for the time.
Yep, thank you. Have a good one.
Yep, for sure. Follow Mr. David Wesley over on Twitter at Senior David Wesley 4. When we come back, Pat Bowlen, Pacers sideline reporter for their broadcast on radio. We will chat with him next, get their side of things, and talk about that game back in overtime. Remember that? No, no. Sports Hangover continues next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell for Men's Total Health, and last year I paid them a visit at the clinic. It's in Metairie on Vets behind the Fidelity Building on Ferran. I went to get tested and see if I had low T and to get an overall look at my health. Low T can cause insomnia, brain fog, and overall self-confidence issues. Go get tested. On-site labs give you the results that visit. So with the new year, resolve to get back to being the old you. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. They accept all major insurances, so visit menstotalhealth.net today and let them know the Sports Hangover sent you.
Valentine's Day in the Crescent City. It doesn't get any better than that.
What have you designed for us, Lori?
A beautiful crescent moon with a heart inside for everyone you love.
A heart inside a crescent moon?
Yes, and I Love You to the Moon and Back is engraved inside.
The moon and back pendant is just $99 and it sparkles with a diamond.
$199 with a gold heart and a diamond.
And just $499 with a rose gold heart covered in diamonds.
The largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End.
Can we talk sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Our thanks to David Wesley. You can catch him on Fox Sports New Orleans coming up later tonight. 6 o'clock tip time. Bells at the Pacers. Mr. Pat Bowlen joins us now to give us the side of Indiana at Pat Bowlen Pacers. The way to follow on Twitter. Good afternoon, Pat. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Appreciate the time.
I'm going to be honest with you, Matt. We over here on Pelicans flagship and our Pels fans, we can't get over that 118-116 loss in overtime. pretty sure that one loss led to about, one or two with the hangover effect. No, in all honesty, though, when you go back and you look at that game, look, it's something that the Pels have had to deal with, it not being able to close out games. Well, I want to hear it from y'all's perspective here as well. What do you remember for that game and really – has things kind of progressed from that for y'all?
Yeah, I mean, it was a remarkable game, an insane game, as you noted, and perhaps the start of a tough trend for New Orleans. You know, it's just so different in this COVID world because we're calling games off of monitors and studios, right, and we're not there. So these big moments that you typically have better memories of, you just don't. But what's also kind of interesting about that game was it was one of the very last for Victor Oladipo in Indiana. And Oladipo, with the Pacers down by 6, hit a 3, got a steal, and then got a turner who tied the game. So he made two of the three biggest plays in that remarkable comeback. I'm not sure it necessarily sparked Indiana on to anything, you know, from a positive standpoint after that. The Pacers have kind of been treading water since the beginning of January, but it certainly was probably the most improbable win the Pacers have had this year if you just consider time, score, situation. And it'll be interesting to see these two teams get to do it again. The Pacers obviously look pretty different without Oladipo.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously what they've gone 7-3 in the last 10, Indiana 4-6. But you look at the East and the Western Conference, and one of the things I did, and I don't know if this is good or not or makes sense, but last Friday I said, look, out of 10 win or losses the Pels had, I could argue 3 or 4 should have been wins, that game being included. I'm like, you do that, click up the standings. Man, you're kind of there with a lot of the different NBA teams. What do you see when you look league-wide? I think the schedule of guys playing and teams playing every other night, not having a lot of practice time, the toll physically, you see big upsets, things of that nature. I just think that's going to be the constant this year, huh?
I totally agree. I think if there's one theme of this NBA season, it's unpredictability. You talk about the Pacers-Pelicans game as one example of that, but Indiana's had, you know, a couple where they've fallen on the New Orleans side of those things. Just a few days ago, the Pacers dropped a game against the Sixers where they led by 20 points late third and by 15 points early fourth. They also dropped a game earlier in the year against Boston where they led by 15 points late third. So there's just been, I think, a ton of unpredictability. I think some of that obviously has to do with either not having fans or limited fans in the building. The home court advantage seems very diminished. I think the home team's winning like 52% of their games. That number's typically up around 60. So that probably has something to do with it. But I don't know whether it's the lack of practicing, the COVID protocols, what it is. You've seen tons of big comebacks. You've seen tons of blowouts. The Pacers in their last two games blew Memphis out of the building a few days ago and then got down by 40 against Milwaukee the very next night. So I don't. Obviously, COVID is playing into this. I'm not sure exactly what is causing this specifically, right, but it seems like this year has been more unpredictable than any year, and the NBA is already a fairly unpredictable league in itself.
Speak with Pat Bowlen, part of the Pacers radio network there. He will have the call later on. Of course, it's the Pacers host the Pelicans coming up at 6 o'clock our time. You know, you look at the East, and that I've used some of the win-loss records in reference to Pels fans and trying to understand where the Pels are. And there's a lack of patience, Pat. I mean, I think that's just the state of sports right now. There's a lack of patience with a team that's only literally played 20 games under a new head coach. But when you look at, say, like the Heat at 7-14, the Raptors, pretty good team, you would think, right? They're 9-12. And, you know, here they're the Knicks. What's remarkable to me, they're only 6 back of first place, the 76ers. The 8th seed in the East is 5.5 back. Is the East that competitive? Do you think you're going to see separation? Or, again, is it kind of an extension of what you were just saying?
Yeah, it's interesting because it almost seems like the two conferences are playing in different realms. Like the Eastern Conference, everything is so tight and competitive. Philadelphia's pulled out to a little bit of a lead, but as you noted, the Knicks are only 6 games behind first. I think at this point last year, 6 games separated 1 through 4 in the Eastern Conference standings. And I do think the East is much improved. Brooklyn being better has something to do with that. But even the Brooklyn Nets, you know, have kind of been one step forward, one step back this year. And since they've had that trade, Cleveland, the team who was near the very bottom of the NBA, is 10-12 and right now tied for 6th with Charlotte, who I don't think a lot of people had there. So it's been interesting to me because the East kind of follows the storyline of unpredictability and just general lack of superpower teams that it seems like this NBA season has brought. And maybe that's just because we come from a bias of seeing the East more often over here. But then obviously you go out West and you've got 3 teams who are 17-6 or better that are kind of running away with things. So I'm not sure what the difference is there other than from a Pacers perspective, you're missing a couple of key guys. Caris LeVert, who has yet to play, T.J. Warren, who led the team in scoring last year, is injured. And I think that bodes better for Indiana, who's still trying to figure everything out without those guys, that, you know, they're not falling into any deep sort of hole, you know, whereas New Orleans, for an example, only 20 games in, but you got to be careful not to dig that hole too deep, especially right. considering I think the West is a deeper cut.
No doubt. Well, Pat, Vegas views it as a one-point favorite for Indiana. What are you expecting, another overtime game here? What are some matchups you guys will be paying attention to on the broadcast tonight?
Yeah, I think just bigger picture, this has another one of those games written all over it that probably gets decided late in the game in the fourth mm-hmm. quarter. The Pacers, until this past week where there have been a couple of blowouts, have just played almost consistently in games where you look at it with 6 minutes to go and you say, you know, they could easily win this one, they could easily lose this one, and I think on balance they're winning probably about half of those scenarios. You never know what you're going to get in the game, but I think this one, the way Indiana has played, New Orleans, obviously coming off maybe their best game of the season mm-hmm. recently, too. So, you know, we'll see how the Pelicans look. Perhaps they're starting to catch their stride and, you know, at the right time as they come in. I think the Pelicans are interesting because they've made, you know, a few moves. Steven Adams, does Eric Bledsoe start to get going? But at the top, you know, we don't get the chance to see Zion Williamson all that often. And last year, I don't believe we got to see him at all. I think part of that was the COVID scheduling when the league right. shut down, and I think he was hurt the first go-around against Indiana. So I've not seen him in person. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And New Orleans is an interesting team to me because they've got great scoring at 1 and 2, but it seems to me they need a third guy to step up. Bledsoe probably makes the most sense for that player. For the Pacers, you've got Sabonis and Brogdon, who are doing a similar type of storyline. They've really carried Indiana so far. Pacers not as deep because of their injuries. So I think you look at that top two matchup of, you know, they're maybe not exactly guarding each other, but Brogdon and Sabonis versus Ingram and Zion, you know, which of those duos outperforms the other, maybe that determines who wins tonight.
Pat, appreciate the insight, man. Let's see what happens. I know you think it'll be close too. I kind of look at it from this perspective. That's kind of how I feel too. And I want to see consistency out of the Pels here. In 1 week's time, you beat the Bucks, go up by 29, are coming off of the game that Stan Van Gundy says is the best they've played, and you had those two games in the middle against Sacramento and Houston where you just scratch your head. So let's see what happens tonight, you know?
Absolutely, and from a Pacers perspective, they haven't had these big, wild momentum swings, either positive or negative. They've just kind of been in this mode of they win a couple in a row, they lose a couple in a row, and ultimately after the 3-0 start, they've kind of been treading water. So it is a bit interesting because while we've seen New Orleans look really good, especially as recently as against Phoenix, the Pacers have rarely looked really poor, but they've rarely looked like I think the team that they're probably capable of, and some of that has to do with injuries. But yeah, I think tonight probably is another close one, and just as game one was in New Orleans, we might, you know, need even overtime to figure out who wins.
Well, at least it's a Friday, and I can just wake up and enjoy my Saturday the next day if the Pacers, maybe this time, don't hit all those shots there at the end. Play-by-play voice of the WNBA's Indiana Fever and Pacers radio host and sideline reporter, Mr. Pat Bowlen. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Pat Bowlen Pacers. Thank you for the afternoon. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game.
Hey, appreciate the time. Have a nice weekend as well.
Yep, for sure. When we come back, something that's in the works here in South Louisiana that I think is a really cool idea. We'll tell you about that when we come back next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand-washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24-7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Valentine's Day in the Crescent City. It doesn't get any better than that.
What have you designed for us, Lori?
A beautiful crescent moon with a heart inside for everyone you love.
The moon and back pendant is just $99, and it sparkles with a diamond.
At Ramsey's.com.
What would you say
you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Why is it so hard for you to just listen? I just want to know that. Good. Just answer me real quick before we get to our next guest. Why is it so hard for you to listen to me?
Because some things just don't make sense.
I understand that. I do. I really honestly do. But as a son and as a father, sometimes you just do what you're told. Right?
I guess you're right.
There we go. Thank you, Jordan.
I still don't think what you're telling me is true. I just don't see any sense of doing it.
I understand. Just please do it for me. Right? Thank you. Let's talk about a really good idea. Mr. Quinteris Queen joins us this morning here on the Sports Hangover. Sir, how are you?
I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. I love this idea you got about a really cool facility over there in Thibodeau in that area that is a multi-purpose, I guess, complex and idea form. Kind of explain to us what you got in your mind and what you got going on and how to maybe build this from the ground up.
Gotcha. So I can actually start by kind of telling you the story of how it came about.
Sure.
So, me and my two partners have been helping me out, Terrence Johnson and Shaheen Thompson. We all three of us were high school athletes at Thibodeau High School. We all went to college and ran track and field. That was our sport. Mm-hmm. And then one day we were just at the track at Thibodeau High and we were just talking about what can we do to help our young, the young community? What is something that's needed around here? So the idea of, let's get a facility. Let's get a place up to where we can get something for our communities to get involved in, especially the young folks. So that's when the idea of putting this whole plan together, which is called Quality Sports Academy, which is the name of it. It'll be a 30,000 square foot facility. Estimated price from everything would be about $7.5 million to kind of build from the ground up, at least to get it started up.
Right.
But the purpose of it is one, academic purposes. So we looked at a lot of problems around our area. Just as many areas have the same problem. But the main problem was, there was a decrease in academics. Another problem was an increase in violence, increase in crime rates. And lastly, there's just no place for our, young community to just hang out and feel safe at, you know what I mean? So this kind of project helped us figure out the solutions to that. Like, what can we do to increase academics, decrease the crime, and just have a place where our young community can kind of bond and just, be together and grow and just learn from each other, network with each other, just hang out at, so that's what this place is, kind of entails. And that's the whole purpose of it. When you say multi-purpose, those three purposes are the main reason we kind of had this idea.
Nah, man, look, I've always toyed around with the idea if I could start some sort of charity group or something like that. PLAY is the acronym, right? Mm-hmm. Participate in the Lives of America's Youth. And I've always wanted to do something of that nature because I grew up playing sports and playgrounds. And I think the importance of playground ball is kind of along the lines of what you're saying, too, is a place that I met friends, like long-life friends, loved it and knew about sports. And obviously, I mean, I'm 45. So back then, mm-hmm. you didn't have 7-on-7 academies, different specializing groups and things
right.
to be able to go get your name out and stuff of that nature. Really, playground ball was sort of like that. But I love what you're saying because I think playing competitive sports and yet having a place that while you're doing that is about academics as well, because I love for everyone to be a pro athlete, but it's very hard to get to that level and then stay there. But man, if you can get an education or get a chance to go to a school and get out or help your family by that, because you can go get a degree by playing a sport somewhere with all these different universities we have in this state. That's huge, Quinteris.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And the main thing, like, you know, we talk to a lot of people around our area. So we got our mayor involved. He's behind us. We got our parish president involved. He's behind us. We have a lot of people who push needles because, you know, one thing I was telling the guys, my partners, who are also my close friends, is, you know, a lot of our family members and old friends and family way back in the day, they would say, you know, 10, 20 years ago, hey, we needed to do this. We should do this. I said, man, I can't be like that. This whole looking back 10, 20 years later, hey, we should have this, could have did this, would have did that. Why don't we try to do it now? Like, you know, why can't we act on it now? You know, because the one thing I feel that our generation, this younger generation, needs is opportunities and resources. Mm-hmm. With a place like this, you create an abundance of opportunities, and we're giving you the resources to do it. That way, you know, there's no excuse for no kids to say they can't do anything, because we're building this platform for you guys to come in, and here's an opportunity for you to be whoever you want, like you just said. Not everybody's going to be a pro athlete. You know, I ran track in college, and me and my closest friend, closest teammate, we first butted heads because he believed that, you know, being an Olympian was his goal. That's what he wanted to do. But I had to tell him, like, man, there's eight lanes on a track and field, you know, and there's 300,000 people trying to fill those eight lanes. It's a very low probability of making it. I mean, it's possible for some, mm-hmm. but you have to, you know, the amount of time and energy and effort you have to put into it, you have to sacrifice a lot. You know, you have a better odds of, you know, kind of figuring out a different route. Not saying don't follow that first dream, but you know right. what I mean? So you're given other opportunities to be created. So that's kind of the main, really, push for this entire thing, is to create those opportunities by giving these resources.
You mentioned about finding people and pushing the needle, and in order to get a 30,000 square foot building and coming up with $7.5 million, you're going to have a lot of help. It's pretty cool. You're going to have, of course, obviously, mayor and parish presidents and things of that nature. How about some corporations and businesses? Have they been able to get on board?
Yes, we've actually talked to our hospital here, Pacific Regional. We've been talking to him. We've talked to a lot of other, you know, people with funding capabilities around our area to kind of back us and kind of get behind us. And it's crazy, Mr. Gus, I can honestly tell you, we have majority of the cities behind us with this project. And I think mm-hmm. it's a matter of time before somebody just, you know, opens up some type of checkbook and say, here, you guys, you know, this is what we need. I'm behind y'all, believe in y'all. It's a matter of time. And it's actually kind of overwhelming in a good way, because you can kind of feel it coming. You can kind of feel that I guess the ball drops and you can breathe now. You know, the weight is off.
Mm-hmm.
So getting in touch, we've been in touch with so many people. We have to meet with the Rouse's company as well to kind of talk to them, give them an idea of what we're doing. Because they want to be, especially with them being from Thibodaux, this would be perfect for them to kind of actually give back in some right. sort of way. You know what I mean? So it's just been an amazing ride.
I love it, man. I know Ed Daniels over there at Channel 26. I actually started out as his intern, Quinteris, and mm-hmm. I saw the story out there, and there's a link to the video of what yeah. this building is going to be like. Players lounge.
Right.
There's pool tables. You have some courts.
Right.
You have place for soccer. So it's multi-purpose in terms of, like, different sports, too. It's not just one or two different sports. A bunch of different yep. things. It's place for, you know, fitness centers, you name it. I mean, you kind of thought about everything that you sort of need to do. This is not only, I think, a facility that would really help the youth and stuff, man, but I think it's something that area, that community could be proud of.
Yeah, and definitely. And that was kind of our idea. What could we do? Because we didn't want to make just an athletic facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, I am coming out of a sports background and going into my actual career being a sports agent, I'm big in sports, but I was also a student. I was also one of those studious guys to where I love school. So I was like, you can't just make this an athletic place, right? So how can we kind of include a bunch of different factors to entice those people who are not really good athletes? You know, the academic people, the ones that want to be, you know, an English major, or they want to do something in history. They want to do things of that nature. Because the one thing I did say is it gives so many people different opportunities, like I mentioned. And mm-hmm. who the heck knows? Like, the next scientist, the next president, the next a Bill Gates is made out of this place. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what can we do to create an opportunity, not just for one group, but for many groups?
Quality Sports Academy, man, we need to get this done. How can people get info on it? How can they contact you and be a part of it and make sure we get some shovels in the dirt soon?
Gotcha. So, I mean, one, mainly you can contact me through my Facebook name, which is Quintarius Queen, Quintarius, last name Queen, as in King and Queen. So you can contact me through Facebook. My email address is QuintariusQ@hotmail.com. And you can personally reach me at my cell phone number, 985-713-2243. And I'm young, so I'm open to all, like, I'm really open to, like, everything. I love to learn. I love growing the new ideas. So if anybody has any idea of how we can get this thing really rolling, how ESPN can be a part of this and help us out, anything possible, I mean, I'm all ears, man. I just love to learn. I love to look at new vision.
Dude, I love the idea. And obviously, I want to meet you. Let's talk a little bit more about this and how we can make this happen in a reality. Because I say this all the time, and again, I have a four-year-old, so obviously I feel very strongly about this as a dad, but you just got to care. Right. I think the way kids and our youth, and I mean, we all see what politics is right now. We see all these different aspects of life, and you know what I see that my kid doesn't see? It's color, it's where your background is, and all this other stuff. But you know why? Because they don't know. They haven't been told that yet. So I think caring and making yourself available. And that could be, you know, giving some of your time up to go coach some of these things, teachers to go teach one of those classes, universities coming up with a program of, hey, like, to get your teaching certificate, go teach a Saturday class at the Quality Sports Academy, things of that nature. I mean, there's so many things you can do. People just have to care. I mean, that's what it boils down to, man.
Absolutely. We've talked to, like, our school board. We talked to the superintendent of the school board. There's so many teachers, Mr. Gus. There's so many teachers that just want to volunteer time. Because essentially what I said, the name to give this place is a mall. Essentially, it's like everything is inside of this place, everything that you need. If you don't feel like being an athlete, you can go and study and do some academic work. If you don't feel like doing that, you can just go and hang out in the players' lounge.
Mm-hmm.
So from the academic standpoint, we reached out to a bunch of teachers they want this place up because they see it as an extra avenue to help these kids, man, from not only just academic, but just from a personal standpoint. And having all of that support, and we've partnered in with, we've been talking with Nicholls State, which is the nearest university out here, to see how this can be an avenue for some of the students that maybe want to be teachers, or some of them that want to be trainers, some of them that want to do things like this that they can't get an opportunity anywhere else, so they can come here and get, like, internships done, like any jobs opening for them. So it's like you just said, it's so many different opportunities that can come from something like this, and that's what it's about. That's what it's about, just creating those opportunities.
All right, let's help the Quality Sports Academy get up off the ground, folks. Go get some info, contact Quintarius Queen if you have any ideas how to help and be a part of it, or you want to be one of those big sponsors to help put a shovel in the ground. QuintariusC@Hotmail over on email, the way to do that. And then, as he said, just go to Facebook and follow up. You can message him that way or even give him a call. Quintarius, let's stay in touch.
Gotcha, man. I'll email you.
Sounds good. There he is. Hour one. Books like that. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. It's been brought to you by the King Firms. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING is the way to get involved in the show, and also with Jason and the folks over there at the King Firm. KingInjuryFirm.com is the way to find out online everything about them, the partners over there, how they can help you. And when we come back, we'll start hour number two on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.